reproach upon their own head, and give them a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah, and the Arabians, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. It came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence you shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. So I'm going to title our message this morning, The People Had a Mind to Work, from Nehemiah chapter 4. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we go into your word this morning, we ask that you would use it in our hearts and teach us and grow us, and Lord, would do whatever is needed in our lives today through your powerful book. And Lord, we're blessed to be able to meet together and open it together. And we pray you would guide every aspect of this service, that you would speak to every heart, that your will would be done. May our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, be lifted up and magnified. We love you. Meet with us now. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. People had a mind to work. Praise God, they did. Nehemiah had been called of God to return back to Jerusalem and see the wall of Jerusalem rebuilt after Ezra had come back and begun to rebuild the city. And it was a great time for Israel. It was a small contingency, if you will, but it was still a great time for them to be able to see God work these miracles and see the city partially rebuilt. But what you're going to find when you decide to go forward and accomplish something for the Lord, is you're going to find some resistance. That is the real world in which we live. The devil doesn't care if you're not doing anything for God. But if you choose to go forward and accomplish something for God, then he's going to sit up and take notice, and he's going to resist. That's just the way he is. He doesn't want things to be accomplished for the cause of Christ. And so Nehemiah had been sent back. He had motivated the people to get excited about this work for the Lord. If you go back to chapter 2 and verse 17, I'll show you there where he got the people excited and motivated to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. Notice Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 17. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was a good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. The people were ready. They were excited to accomplish this task for God. And as soon as they began to move forward, they began to face resistance. And I guarantee you the same thing will happen in our lives. When we choose to go forward for God, we're going to face resistance. And we see in this passage at least three different ways that the devil attacks and tries to stop us. The first one we see there in verse 1 of chapter 4 is the devil is going to attack our minds. You can call it psychological warfare. You can call it whatever you want. But he's going to attack our thought life. It says in verse 1, he was wroth, and he took great indignation, and what? He mocked the Jews. He mocked the Jews. This wasn't a physical attack. This was a mental attack. He began to mock them and to say how silly it was what they were trying to do because it wasn't going to accomplish anything. And he was joking about a fox knocking the wall over and so forth. He began to mock them. Has anybody ever had the devil attack you in your thought life? It is something that's going to happen. You know, the Bible talks about, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible talks about this battle that we fight the devil over in our thought life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, notice if you would, in verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, the Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Every thought. Notice it mentions imaginations. The devil will try to attack us in our thought life. He's going to resist progress. He doesn't want us to move forward. The Bible says that the world does the same thing. They mock Christians. 1 John 3:13 says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." The world hates Christians. It's out there. It's for real. Get used to it. We're here to serve Jesus. We're on the winning side. But the world hates us. And the devil is going to try to attack and slow us down, just like he did this work in Nehemiah's time in Jerusalem. And he tries to use sometimes our thoughts. He tries to attack us in our thoughts. Notice it says there in verse 2, when they were joking or mocking them, he said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned?" It's all just trying to get them discouraged, attacking them in their thought life. Tobiah the Ammonite was by him. He said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall break down their stone wall." Try to produce doubt in their minds about the quality of their work or about their ability to get it done. We can't allow Satan to do this in our lives. If God has something for us to do, God is going to help us do it. God is there. When we get saved, it doesn't only indwell us, but He empowers us. The Holy Ghost is there for us to give us all the strength that we need. God will never leave us nor forsake us. And so when the devil begins to attack our thought lives, which he often does, what do? Look at verse 4. Nehemiah just broke out in prayer. "Hear, O our God, for we are despised and turned their reproach upon their own head." The best way to counter psychological warfare or the attack in our thought lives is to just take it to God and ask for God's help. Go to Psalm 37, if you would. We'll see an example of this in the life of David. Psalm 37. Now, I won't read the whole psalm, but the whole psalm is beautiful. But notice David's saying here, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." And we could read on and on. But he starts off the psalm, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." What's fretting? It's worrying. It's an issue with our thought life. And David gave the answer. Take it to God. Commit your way unto the Lord. Give it to the Lord. And that's exactly what Nehemiah did. He even said, "Lord, I pray you'll turn this reproach upon their own heads." It's okay to believe Romans 12:19 is true. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Give it to God. God can handle it. God has big shoulders. Go to the Lord in prayer. Trust Him. Recognize that it's God's work. And if God wants it done, He'll make it possible. And don't listen to these attacks from the devil. And use the Word of God against the devil. You know, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do we do that? Well, Jesus taught us, didn't he, in Matthew chapter 4. It is written, it is written, it is written. He used God's powerful word to resist the devil. That's the sword of the Spirit that we're told about in Ephesians chapter 6. So use the word, take it to the Lord, and don't allow the devil to slow you down in your thought life. So back to our passage, Nehemiah chapter 4, notice verse 6. So built we the wall. Praise the Lord. They didn't stop. They didn't allow all this mocking to stop them. Nehemiah said, Lord, this is your project. We're trusting you. Turn their approach upon the roadhead. And they went back to work. And they began to build the wall. It says, and the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. They were being persecuted. They were being mocked and attacked. But they had a mind to work. They wanted to accomplish something for God despite the persecution, despite the attacks. And that's what we're going to have to do. The Bible says in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. We're going to have afflictions. We're going to have attacks. We're going to have resistance from the devil. We need to go forward anyway. And that's what they did. They built the wall. They had a mind to work. They said, let's go forward. The Bible talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind in Romans chapter 12. How does that happen? Well, again, that happens through the Word of God. So God wants us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as we read about in 1 Corinthians 15:58. So the devil, firstly, will try to attack us in our thought life. Take it to the Lord. Notice verse 7 of our passage. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were very wroth. When God's people prosper, the world gets very wroth. And conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. You see, the devil doesn't always necessarily just stop at attacking our thought lives. He has other things in his arsenal too. And often he will try to literally hinder us physically. Go, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll see an example from the life of the Apostle Paul where that very thing happened in his ministry. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2 and verse 18. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Now, God ultimately allows it because God knows what's best for us. But the devil will often try to hinder us from doing the work of God. And he will bring things across our path and try to slow us down. I'm talking physically. I'm not talking about just our thought lives. But he might bring a person. He might bring a physical trial, sickness, whatever, across our path to say, well, if you want to go forward for God, first you got to get past this. And here, the people are finally getting some work done, and the wall's halfway finished, and these men that are jealous and angry say, well, fine, we're just going to come fight. We're not just going to mock. We're going to come fight you. We're going to physically stop you from accomplishing this work in Jerusalem. And the devil does the same thing. He says, if I can't beat you in your thought life, I'm going to try to physically stop you. Through whatever means. I mean, you think Job got slowed down a little bit? When he lost his family and his health and his living in one day? The devil did all that. Now, God allowed him to. But he has the power to bring obstacles in our lives. And we have to decide, if that's going to stop us. Did it stop Paul? He said, Satan hindered us. Did Paul say, well, that's it, I'm done. I'm not a missionary anymore. I'm going to stop planting churches. I'm going to stop preaching the gospel. He just kept going forward. He put that one obstacle in his life, but he didn't stop. He just kept going. And that, praise God, this is what they did. If you go back to our passage, verse 9 of our verse of our chapter, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night. They prayed and they set a watch. Prayer moves the God that moves the mountains. Amen. And so they prayed. If you look down in verses 13 and 17 and 18, Nehemiah later on, he armed the people. And then in 14 and 20, he encouraged them. Later on, in verses 18 through 20, he devised an actual plan so that if they did receive an attack, they would be ready for it. In the verse 21, they sped the project up. Verse 23, they brought all the people into the city so they would have more people to protect the city. In other words, they took precautions after this physical threat. They did something about it. You know, they when Joseph was tempted and attacked by his master's wife, what did he do? He fled. He did something about it. Now, the Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. We need to take precautions when these things come into our lives. I've heard someone say, pray as if it all depends on God and work as if it all depends on us. It's true. You know, we could take the approach, well, I'm just going to go into my room and just going to pray that all these great things are going to happen for God, and then I'm just going to sit on the couch and watch God do it. But that's not how it works, is it? We need to go and pray, but then we need to get up and go to work and go forward. And that's what they did. They prayed. It says they committed unto the Lord again in verse 9, but then they set a watch. They did something about the obstacle. They went forward anyway, trusting that God would take care of them. The apostles did the same thing. If you go to Acts chapter 4, we'll see an example from their lives. Do you think they faced a bit of resistance when they were preaching the gospel to the Jews? Well, most of them ended up dead. I would call that resistance. Acts chapter 4, notice down in verse 29, this is after they had been threatened with their very lives for preaching the gospel. They said, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They didn't say, Lord, they threatened that if we preach anymore, they're going to kill us. Therefore, we can't preach anymore because we don't want to die. No, they said, Lord, this is what they threatened. We ask for more boldness so we can keep doing what you told us to do. And that's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to quit. Oh, well, the devil's fighting me. He's resisting everything I'm trying to do here. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to do it, so I quit. No. Go forward. Go through the obstacle. Go around the obstacle. God will give you the strength. There will be obstacles, but they're all part of the Christian life. God still has a work for us to do. So He's going to use mental attack, and He's going to use trying to hinder us physically. Wouldn't it be nice if that was all? But have you ever heard of discouragement? Notice back in our chapter, Nehemiah 4, this is where the devil often wins. This is what's sad. He attacks in our thought life. We get victory over it through the Lord. He tries to hinder us. We go forward anyway. But then he uses discouragement. I mean, think about Elijah. Had the strength. Can you imagine how much strength it would take to cut off 450 heads? All those prophets of Baal. The Bible says he did it himself. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of swinging of the sword. And yet it shows a lot of boldness in God, doesn't it? That he stood up to all those prophets and went up on that mountaintop and did great things for God and showed the people that God is God, and the people fell down and worshiped God, and he killed all those prophets of Baal, and then he ran from one woman and hid in a cave. Jezebel. Killed all those prophets and ran from one woman, and then said, God, you might as well just kill me because nobody else cares about you but me. I'm the only one left in the whole world. Now I'm paraphrasing. But that's basically what he told God. And God eventually told him, get up and go back to work. Quit crying in your soup and get up and go to work. Notice verse 10, Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed. There is much rubbish so that we're not able to build the wall. Might as well quit. There's too much rubbish. Everybody's tired. We just can't do it. And the devil's going to try this attack as well. He's going to try to get us discouraged. He's going to try to make us think we can't get it done. Look at Numbers chapter 13. We'll look at another example from the life of Israel. Numbers chapter 13, verse 31. You've probably heard of the promised land. Probably heard of the 12 spies. 10 of them came back and said, there's giants. We can't do it. The cities are fortified. The place is great. We know God promised us this land, but notice Numbers 13:31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against this people, the people, for they are stronger than we. And if you think that discouragement isn't contagious, a couple of million people decided they couldn't go because of what the 10 spies said. And all of them ended up wandering into the desert for 40 years and dying without getting to enjoy the promised land that they had been promised because they said, we can't do it. So the discouragement was like a plague and spread throughout the whole camp. And all we have is two guys, Joshua and Caleb, standing there saying, we can do this. God's on our side. It doesn't matter how big the giants are. Let's go. And it was only them. And the rest said, we can't do it. God said, fine, you don't believe me? You don't believe we can do it? Go back into the desert. Your kids will go in. And that's exactly what happened. God says in 1 Corinthians 16:13, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Don't let the devil slow you down. Don't let the devil discourage you. Be strong. Stand. And get the job done. Back in our chapter, verse 11, our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords and their spears and their bows. I love that. A trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. That's what we're supposed to be doing, amen? We're supposed to be building the work of God, but we have to fight the devil while we do it with the sword of the Spirit. So we have to be armed while we're working, which is exactly what Nehemiah did. We've got a wall to build, but we've got to protect ourselves. So we've got to be armed while we work. And that's what God wants. In verse 14, and I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. Because discouragement is really just fear wrapped up in another package. Fear that we can't accomplish something. Fear that we're going to get attacked. Fear of what the consequences might be. But that's all discouragement really is. But Christians aren't supposed to fear. God's people aren't supposed to fear. How many times were they told in the Old Testament, fear not? What are we told in the New Testament? 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But that's what the devil does. And David said, the Lord is on my side, Psalm 118:6, I will not fear. That needs to be our attitude. The devil's going to try to attack my thoughts. The devil's going to try to put obstacles in my way. The devil's going to try to get me discouraged and think it can't be done and make me fear. What's the answer? Every time, take it to God and prepare. And that's exactly what they did. And so he says in verse 14, fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Fight? That doesn't sound very Christ-like. Wait a minute, doesn't the Bible say we're soldiers? Doesn't the Bible say in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith? We are here to fight. We're here to fight the devil over who? The souls of our brethren and our sons and our daughters and our wives and our houses. There's people out there that need the Lord, and we're here to fight for them. And the Bible says we can do it. Go to Ephesians 6:17. The Bible says that we have a weapon that's available to us to fight with. The greatest weapon ever. Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There is no greater weapon. What else on this earth has the power to know where the dividing asunder of soul and spirit is? What else on this earth has the power to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart but the powerful Word of God? And we have it. And as we memorize it and meditate in it and read it and study it, we have the sword. And the devil's not going to stop us. We have things to do for the cause of Christ. God wants us to do them. And I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And so, after encouraging the people to get armed and to get back to work and to fight, literally, verse 14, for their brethren, back in our verse 15, it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and God had brought their counsel to naught, we returned, all of us, to the wall, everyone unto his work. We returned. We're not going to let them slow us down. It doesn't matter if they mock us. It doesn't matter if they threaten to fight us. It doesn't matter what kind of obstacles they try to put in our way. We're going to work and get this done. And that's the attitude God wants us to have. To have a mind to work. The devil is going to fight us every step of the way. That's just the facts. He doesn't want things accomplished for the cause of Christ. He doesn't want people to get saved. He doesn't want Christians on fire for the Lord. So he's going to fight it. We might as well expect it and be ready for it. And when it comes, do what we need to do. Fight casting down imaginations and every high thought of the exalted self-thinking knowledge of God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and fight. Let's get the gospel to the lost. Let's accomplish something for the cause of Christ. No matter what the devil throws our way. And whatever we do, don't allow the devil to discourage us. Because that is probably his number one trick. I mean, maybe you're a Christian, you've never been discouraged. I want to meet you after the service. But if you're like the rest of us, we've all been there. What's the answer? To go hide somewhere? No. Arm yourself and get to work. Amen? The people had a mind to work. Let's pray. Lord, thank you.